Praise the Lord.
Aren't you glad for the blood this evening? Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord bless each one that's here this evening, and we do give everyone a warm welcome in our service in the name of the Lord. Our brother Mark wasn't able to come tonight because Sister Oliver's working, and sure missed you on Sunday, brother. I was thinking, you know, when I went home, I said it twice, I hope I haven't forgotten nothing. I never lifted orphans or not. And I never minded about it till I was good home. But you're a mess, brother, badly, I can tell you. But praise God, the Lord bless. And you know, I was pulled in the drive today about, not sure what time, this evening, 2, 3 o'clock. I'm not sure, but there's somebody on the phone, and he says, I suppose you don't know who this is. And I says, I've no idea. But it's a wee fella I used to chum with years ago when I was a wee lad. Me and him was best buddies. I stayed in his house a lot. And he says, you know, Tommy, and I won't mention any names, he said, I was thinking about you today. So I put your name in on the internet. And he got my testimony when I was down for Keith Walkinson. But this fella's got saved that I chummed with. And we started talking about the things of God. He says he's going to come along to the services some night to hear his preaching. And I says, well, brother, you're welcome, you know. And then he's asked him about my family. I don't know how long I've talked to him for a long time. But you know, years ago, you know, in this country, there was a man that was caught and killed a wee girl. And it was a big thing in the news some years ago. And he murdered a wee girl, and they caught him years later for the murder of that wee girl. Well, he tried to get this wee fella that was my mate, but nobody believed it. But I remember that. And he pulled the van in, and he ran for him with the arms to get him. And he described him in detail, the blue jeans, the shirt, the glasses, everything in detail. But his parents, or nobody took much attention to it, nobody really believed it. But he ran, and he told me where he ran from, the house, everything. And he ran away, and he jumped the fence, and he went to this woman's door, and he rang the bell. And when the man saw that he rang the bell, he cleared. But some years ago, and this troubled him all his life, because his parents didn't do anything about it. They didn't really know about it. He told his mother and all, she didn't know what to think of it. But one night on the news, there was a man. And he rang his mom and he said, there's a man on the news that tried to get me. And he went to the police and everything and made a statement. But God kept him. That's the thing. And I said, you know, I never thought I would be sharing a testimony. That's what I told him. I never thought that I would be sharing any testimony. And he says, well, I did. That's what he said to me. He says, I did. Because I used to read the Bible a lot when I was young. I used to study the Bible, Romans, you heard me talk about it. I used to go over it and over it and over it. Every night of the week, I used to read it a lot when I was very young. And, but the Lord saved him. And maybe come along to the services, but I thought it was wonderful. God kept him. He might not have been here, but God knew one day he would be saved. And you know, I'm going to tell you this, and I've maybe said it before. Several years ago when we were in Tully Dish Orange Hall, I decided I'd never share my testimony again. I decided that. You know, sometimes you decide things in yourself, but sometimes it mightn't be God. But I thought, if nobody wants to hear my testimony, I'll never share it again. And Brother John, that night, the Spirit of God came on Brother John. It was before I went to England with Brother Beecham to preach. And the Holy Spirit said to Brother John, you're to share your testimony. God wants you to share it. And people will be delivered. And that was one of the greatest meetings we had. Even when I preached, the meeting wasn't as good as when I shared my testimony. And after that, that really done something for me, that I believe God wanted me to share my testimony. And there's a fella, he just, something got him to think for my name. I'm nobody, and I'm not saying it for that. But isn't it wonderful how God kept him? He could have been dead. And how many that man killed, only God could know that, but he killed people. And that's a long time ago, when he was just a wee fella. He couldn't have been any more than maybe 10 or 12 years old, if he even was that back then, at that time. And he's a fella almost my age. But I thought that was wonderful how the Lord kept him. And he's saved. And out of the whole family, he's the only one that is saved. None of the rest of them saved. It's amazing, really, God's predestination. We can't fathom it. Even when you think of William Branham's testimony, he was the only one. His father killed a man in a knife fight, and their name, you know, the name Branham wasn't the original name. The name was changed. They reckon the name could have been Brennan, like over here in Ireland, and it was changed to Branham. Obviously, we know it, the number 7, also God did it, I believe that. But his people weren't religious, and when he was born, that light came over him. God had a purpose. And God can pick one person out of a whole family and only save that one out of a whole family. That, we can't understand that. And then God can do another thing. He can save a whole family. Like Noah's family. And God can move into families and save a whole family. And we really want to be praying for our family. You know, what a brother Gary said tonight, so true. It's terrible. You know, if my view on the vaccine's always been, if somebody feels they want to get the vaccine, that's their choice. But some of us feel we don't want to get it, that's also our choice. And it's down to the individual whether they get that vaccine or not. But when it's forced, that's control, that's wrong. That is absolutely wrong. I don't agree with it. It's wrong, and I've always said there's something more behind it all. There has to be. Why would they want the control? But they're wanting the control behind it. And we just need to be praying and seeking the Lord that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us. Now I want to talk a bit about the Holy Spirit tonight. And I hope that you don't get tired of me preaching from the book of Acts and talking about the Holy Spirit. And as you know, you can preach on anything, but this is what I felt to bring again tonight. The baptism of the Holy Spirit and the results. And I have a statement I want to read in a moment from a message called The Super Sign. But let's read from Acts 2. Let's read verse 17 and 18 from Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and verse 18. Maybe we could just stand for, we're not standing because of, I don't want anybody to think we're standing because it's a sort of a religious thing or anything like that. We're doing it for respect for God's word. That's why I do it. For the respect for the word of God, because this is absolutely our supreme authority here, the word of God. Acts chapter 2 verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Then go down to verse 38 and 39. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Heavenly Father, we just bow again before you this evening. In the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we humbly, reverently approach you tonight, for you are a holy God. We cannot come of our own steam or our own merit, or, Lord, supposing ourselves to be anything, but we come because of the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And we plead the merits of that blood over our lives afresh, over this house and all's in it, and all representative with it. We do plead the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Purge us, and we shall be the kisseth, and fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost, we pray. May we experience the things in this book in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, I need the Holy Ghost. I take the Holy Ghost in Jesus' precious name. And I thank you, Lord, you undertake for me. Pray for that young man rang me today. Lord, bless him and bless his whole family in the name of Jesus. And Lord, for all these brethren, our brothers mentioned tonight, Lord, may you be with them. May you lead them. May you guide them. And may you overturn the devil, I pray, and expose him as the liar he is in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, I pray also for Sister Lydia tonight as she's due for the little one coming. May you bless them and strengthen them. And may everything be well in Jesus Christ's name. Bless the brethren that couldn't be here tonight, Lord. Be with them and strengthen them. Bless the nurses and all the doctors. And give wisdom to those in authority. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Now I know I say this all the time, but I believe it. I really believe we can't, you know, we don't say in a sense we're Pentecostal with signs and things. And people have come to me and said that, they say your church has no signs of Pentecostalism, but it's more Pentecostal than churches that have the signs. Now what I mean by that is writings and saying. We need the experience. And the disciples didn't run about the plaque to say there was something, but they had it. They had it. And you know the Word of God says they took knowledge that they'd been with Jesus. Hallelujah. And I believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a supernatural endowment with power from heaven. That's what I believe. To equip the Christian to be an effective witness. And whatever office God's called them in, or sister or brother, and even to help us live our daily Christian life, we need the Holy Ghost more than ever. We need the spirit of discernment. Now you can't believe everything you read either, and all these Facebooks and different things, and people put up this and that. And sometimes when you study it out, you find behind it it's rubbish. It's not actually true at all. But here's a book that you can believe. This book can be believed. And we know that God doesn't want us to have fear. And he hasn't given us a spirit of fear. But he's given us a spirit of truth. Of love and not of a sound mind. The gift of the Holy Spirit comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I always quote the late or Brother Joseph Smith, the Pentecostal man that I heard as a young man. And Brother John here, I think, I taped him as well. I might even have heard him on a tape, but I heard him once or twice of Bambridge Elam, and I was young then and he was old then, so I'm not even sure. Maybe it's 40 years ago, because I'm in my 50s now. I know I don't look a bit of it, brother, but it's true. Praise God. But he was a wonderful man, you know, and he made a statement, and I often use it and say it, and that's when I went for the shoes in the shop. I never asked for tongues. I asked for the shoes, but the tongues was in them. Amen. And I tell you, when God gives you the Holy Spirit, the power of God comes with it. Hallelujah. And I believe that this evening. Praise God. Now I want to read this statement. There's a couple of statements I've marked out. I found one that nobody quotes round certain circles, but I'm quoting it tonight. I can tell you that. But a lot of people don't quote it, but it's there. And I know, like the fellow said, a quote that's not of God can be dead, but then if someone brings you closer to God, let's have it. Amen. I wanted somebody to put a finger on a scripture and show me where he took it out, where he took it back from the church. It's a supernatural sign to the believer. That's what's passed from death on to life, because we feel
the Holy Ghost and see it working on our lives, changing us from what we were to what we are now. Amen. He rose from the dead. Now here also is in a statement, no Holy Ghost without emotion. No Holy Spirit without emotion. This is what William Branham said that I'm reading from a message called The Palmer Worm, The Locust Worm, The Canker Worm, The Caterpillar, in 1959. Now I believe he's a prophet before 1959. And don't go with a view that only from a certain date he's a prophet. That's some boy's idea. He was born a prophet. Just like Jeremiah was born a prophet. Ezekiel and all the different men in the Bible, it even says he were a prophet even from his mother's womb. Amen. Here's what it says. I say this, my beloved people, listen to me. I stand with you. I will stand with you someday on the judgment. Now that's a strong statement. I'll have to answer. I'll not answer to the creed. So help me God, I'll answer to the Bible. That's the book I'll stand by. Amen. Now we know people's replaced the Bible for other things, but they're wrong. There is no place in the Bible where that they ever received the Holy Ghost without having emotion. That's what he said. He said there's no place in all of the Bible for they ever received the Holy Spirit without having emotion. Speaking with tongues, shouting, praising God, prophesying, manifesting. They never did just walk up and shake hands with a preacher. You understand what he's saying? And walk away or sign their name in a card. It was a real experience. Amen. There's no place in the Bible that ever did receive it or ever was baptized out of it being in the name of Jesus Christ, Acts 2:38. They never had a Trinity called over them, not once. There never was no place in the Bible for they taught the Trinity. It was always one God, hear, O Israel, I am the Lord your God, one God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I am the Lord your God, not a Father, Son, Holy Ghost, but I am God. Forever, He's God, always was God, always will be God. I heard of a man, there's a man, and this man has got to a position where the Holy Spirit picked him out to be false some years ago. The Holy Spirit actually picked him out and said, this man will be posing as a minister, but he's false. That same man now is so false that he says he's Lord. And he's got a following. And those that claim, now understand what I'm saying when I do this, can you see what I'm doing? We can't be deceived. Yeah. How many heard that statement? Well, those that we can't be deceived, they're following him. Lots of them's following him. And yet they say we can't be deceived. And he calls himself Lord, and it went so far that some other people burned him out. And they burned the jeep he was driving, and they burned other things. And he came on somewhere with someone sent me, and I tell him I wasn't even wasting my time listening to it. I wasn't even listening at all. It's so false. And he says the reason people never died is because such the one, and he named his name, your Lord, saved you. That's why nobody died. The Lord was there. You know, the scripture spoke within me as I read that. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. That's it, plain and simple. You don't need no debate about it. Just one scripture to show that's false. Amen. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We don't. It's not learning something in a sense of learning it. It is an experience. An experience of the power of God baptizing you, baptizing me, and not only baptizing us, but sealing us. Because the book of Ephesians says you're sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. You cannot be lost when you're sealed by the Holy Ghost. That's the Bible. Amen. Now what happened to the disciples on the day of Pentecost when they were filled with the Holy Spirit? Acts 2:4 tells us. And when you take the Bible as your blueprint, you cannot deny scripture. Throw it away. You can't do it. Here's what it says. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now everybody that reads that says, well, that was a language. That doesn't mean the tongues we have today. But when you study the book of Corinthians and you read what Paul the Apostle says, who is the messenger to the first church age, Paul says there's different kinds of tongues. There's a tongue of man, which could be French or German, I'm just using an example, but there's also the tongue of angels. And there's also a tongue which is unknown. And you need the Holy Spirit to interpret it. For no man, no matter what language he learns, can interpret it either. How many knows that? There's diversities of gifts and there's different tongues. But these men, the Spirit spoke through them with tongues. We cannot deny that. The believer in Samaria came to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ through Philip's preaching. So they got saved. Now people say there's great men that get people saved. They're like Philip. Now you can't knock a man that's all he does. You know, God has men, that's all they're going to do. But isn't that great? That there's men of that gifting, that calling, that maybe others don't have. Philip here, I'm not saying Philip didn't have other giftings, I believe he had. But I'm just making a point. I want you to follow me, Acts 8, verse 12. Then we'll read 14, 17. And when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. They could see it. Now look at verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard Samaria received the Holy Ghost, the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord. Now there's people that also preach, if you're not baptized, you're not saved. But the Bible says, contradicts that, in the sense, what I'm saying is, they say once you get baptized in water, you've got the Holy Spirit, and they make it a doctrine. But these people were baptized in water, and how many knows they didn't have the Holy Ghost? Right. Because if they did, it would say they did. And they wouldn't need these fellows to come down and get them out. They were baptized correctly. They obeyed the word of God. But they still hadn't the Holy Spirit. But listen to me, they were candidates for it. They were ready for it. Because they followed everything right up to it. Verse 16, for yet is fallen upon none of them, only baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now under the rules we have today, you can't do that. That's the truth. And you know, did you know, now I know we're trying to follow whatever, let me say it like that. I don't want to be controversial. But 30 people can meet in a house according to our own government's laws tonight. Well, we're not even 30 in here. And there's no real rules on certain things. They've said it. You can do it if you want. It's not actually law. You can do it if you want. But you know, Christians have got so afraid if you went to lay hands on somebody, they'd run. They'd be free. But the Holy Spirit's proven. And if a man's anointed of God, that's proven. But there's things they're working with that's not proven. And they run for it. But the thing that is proven, they're not running for it. Now that's the devil. That's the devil right there. I believe that. How many agrees with that tonight? I tell you, the Holy Spirit's real. God has principles in the Bible. If we're going to be afraid that if somebody comes amongst us, we need to pray for them that we might die or get sick. Where are we at? We need to come in faith, believing. Now I'm not saying just do it willy-nilly, but if God leads a man of God to pray for somebody, let's all say amen. Let's get behind it and believe it's after God, because it might happen. Because like I've said before, if the Lord leads me to do it, I'm doing it. And if some people don't like it, there's nothing I can do about it, because there's other things happening I don't like, and it's done anyhow. Amen. And there's no point us condemning certain rules if we abide by them so much that it keeps us away from the things of God. How does that make sense? If we're going to quote out things that's wrong and then it keeps us away from serving God, yet we know it's wrong. step forward the will. Amen. But I tell you, we need the Holy Spirit. And we need it. Look at men like John G. Lake. They came to John G. Lake. The top professors and doctors of the day came to him. And they said, Lake, what type of suit were you wearing? What gloves had you on? What uniform did you and your buddies have that none of these diseases come on you? And he said, none. And they didn't believe him. Now, I know everybody's not John G. Lake. I know that. But don't forget one thing. John G. Lake did not have a monopoly on the power of God. Wigglesworth did not have a monopoly on the power of God. Neither did William Branham. They're wonderful men of God. But God is no respecter of persons. Amen. And he gave the Holy Spirit to them that believe him. That's his own word. Amen. And God can give any man or woman the power of God. And remember, if God done one thing once, he can do it again. And if somebody says he can't, then they're saying he's changed. And that breaks the Bible. Because the Bible says God cannot change and is not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8, Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Look how Saul of Tarsus received the Holy Ghost in Acts 9, verse 10. And you can read right through to verse 18. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision. You know this story, where the Lord showed him Paul's coming, and when he got there, he had a whole conversation with God. You know, this fella's not a good one and all the rest of it. But when God saves a man, he changes him. Amen. And immediately, look, verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered in, put it into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, has appeared unto thee in the way, as I camest, have sent me. Now here's another man that sent. I quickly counted this evening. Mind, I told you, I couldn't remember apostles other than the 12. I counted at least 12. Other than the 12. That was just a quick count. It could even be more. And there's two unnamed apostles. Many ever heard of that? Two unnamed apostles. But they're called apostles and they're not named in the book of Acts or through the Bible. So the theory that some people have, there's none after the 12, it's not scriptural. That's a man's idea, but it's not the Bible. And here the Holy Ghost comes on him and said, if thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Now that scripture, you know, helped me a lot. I'll tell you that. Do you know why? When I met with that supernatural presence in the jail, that changed me, but I still wasn't baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I used to wonder about that, but here Paul met with the Lord himself. Paul the Apostle meets the Lord himself, isn't that right? And he still wasn't baptized with the Holy Ghost. But he gets it here. Amen. So God's a way of doing things that we mightn't think the way he does it. And everybody's at a different stage. Do you know what I mean? Somebody that's just saved a while might be at the same place for somebody else is, but the Lord could still be with them in a powerful way, leading them. But I tell you, we need the Holy Spirit, and these men needed the Holy Spirit. Now look, you can go to Acts 44 and verse 48 of Acts 10. Now we can clearly see the Holy Ghost can be received by laying on hands. Now you say, Tom, you've preached these things before. I know I have, but I want us to be reminded of them. Paul says, remember the brethren in these things. Laying on of hands. Men that's called and anointed of God can lay hands on you. And you know, many men that God used, there's men, I told you, T.L. Osborne just preached and God done it. But there's other men, what Wigglesworth laid hands on. There was a lot of men laying hands on. Oral Roberts had a gift in his hand. And Oral Roberts would not leave his hotel room until he felt this power in his hand. And he got so nervous, one time the fella come to lift him to take him to meeting, and he said, I can't go. And the fella says, what do you mean you can't go? And he says, God's not in my hands yet. Now you talk about sensation. Now, let's be truthful. That's absolutely sensational, but it worked. It worked. That man had something which you could call sensation because he felt it in his hand. And he knew it come in his hand, in a particular hand. And if you ever watch the films of Oral Roberts, go on YouTube and watch them, do you see? And you know, Oral Roberts was one of the finest preachers you'll ever hear. That's the truth. That man could preach. We talk about other wonderful men, but that man could preach. Big, tall man, a powerful preacher. God healed him of tuberculosis when he was a wee boy. You ever heard, saw the film, the movie of Little David?
Venture of Faith.
Venture of Faith. What's the film, Venture of Faith? And the little boy was dying. God healed him. You could see Oral Roberts sitting on a chair. And Oral Roberts says, I can feel God in my hand. Now when he said that, people were healed instantly. And he said when he didn't have that, things still happened, but not the same way when he felt that. He felt the power of God in his hand. So I tell you, there's so many wonderful gifts in the Bible, and so many men over the years that God's used very uniquely. And they might even seem strange to some of us, but if it's God. God, there's no monopoly, you see, in something. That, you know, this will be the way of it. God can do what he wants. How many knows that? And thank God for it. Praise God. While Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them. So we see these disciples laid hands on them and they got the Holy Spirit. And here in verse 44 and 48 of Acts 10, while they spoke the word, the Holy Spirit fell on them. So if you were putting down, if you're making a doctrine page for your church, we don't have one. Just in case anybody's wondering. Now, with things we believe, absolutely. But we've not been written down on a certain list. A lot of places have. But let's say we said, well, laying on of hands, that's the final way of it. There's no other way to get it. What would you do with verse 44 then to 48? They didn't get it that way, but they still got it. So you see, God has different ways of working, just like different men. God, you know, if you listen to William Branham preaching, he was slow to get started, wasn't he? He was slow. Do you know what I mean? Jack Coe was the opposite. Jack Coe was finished in 20 minutes. But he was an evangelist. Certainly an apostle of faith. But totally different ministries. And the man that's slow still got something done at the end of it. There's no question about that. But that fella was quick. He had faith. And Wigglesworth as well. Probably didn't preach that long. There's so many different ministries. You can't put somebody in a wee box to fit certain things, because the Holy Spirit works his own way of working. And he uses different characters, nature. Do you know what I mean? Now what question did Paul ask to the disciples at Ephesus in Acts 19? Here's what he asked them. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? An awful lot of people say we believe. You could all fill in the next part. M starts with. That's it. Now, it's good. We believe God sent a message. How many believes that tonight? I absolutely believe with all my heart God sent a message, but that doesn't save me. That doesn't fill me with the Holy Spirit because I say I believe that. I have to have a time in my experience where I accepted Jesus Christ, just like the man that brought the message did. I have to have a time in my experience when I got a baptism of the Holy Spirit, just like the man that brought the message did.
Yes.
For me to say I believe the message, period, that's it all in one nutshell. But somebody could say, I'm this or I'm not, have they got it as well then? There's nothing wrong with saying I believe the message. I believe the message. But I had to get saved and I had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, these disciples were believers. And they said unto them, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And when he said unto them, unto what be baptized, he said John's baptism, and they re-baptized him. Some people say if you're baptized one time, you don't need baptized again. If you're baptized in three titles, you never were baptized. You get wet. That's all that happened. You weren't baptized. That's the truth of it. That's the truth. The scripture was not fulfilled over that person that got three titles over him, because that was not the name. That was a title of the name. And he said, do it in the name. Just you would never write in your marriage certificate. Imagine writing on your marriage certificate, Mr. and Mrs., and that's it. Mr. and Mrs. who? It would have to be the name. And your wife took your name. Now, a lot of modern people don't bother taking the name. They keep their own name. There's a sign in that. Jesus said, another will come in his own name. Him they will receive. But I've came in my Father's name, and they never received me. It is the name of Jesus Christ we take, because we want to be Mrs. Jesus Christ, the bride of Jesus Christ, and we take his name. So there's nothing wrong with saying the message, as long as you know you're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. But I've heard people giving the testimony, and they say, I come to the message, and they say the time, and they join a movement, but they never once in that testimony say they repented. They never once in that testimony say they asked Jesus to save them. Now what you have there is a proselyte. Let's be honest about it. Amen. That's a proselyte. That's not a born-again Christian. A born-again Christian has a testimony when they can see it. Now they don't have to remember the exact minute or day, but they'll know in their experience that one time they met with the Lord, and they'll never take that from them. And that's their testimony. And that's how you overcome the devil. That's why a lot of people's having problems overcoming them, because they don't have the testimony. Amen. You should guard your testimony. Thank God for your testimony. Your testimony is not to glorify your own flesh. It's to glorify Jesus. He's given you the testimony. Boast on him. Amen. Praise God. Look at verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe in him that should come after him, that is Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they speak with tongues and prophesied. There's so many places for the talk with tongues and prophesy. Then the end time prophet in our day, in our generation, comes out with a message which we say we believe, and I trust we do, and he says the last church will be a tongue talking, Holy Ghost filled church. Now that doesn't mean every single person must speak in tongues as an evidence, but tongues is part of the Holy Spirit, prophecy is part of it, healing's part of it. It's part of it. You don't throw it out. You don't put the shelves up, because I'd put my boot through them. I'll tell you that now. Man said to me one time in England, we have shelves up. We have shelves up. And we've been taught to get from the shelf. I says, well, then break your shelves. There's no shelves where I come from for gifts on them. I know it's maybe crude me saying that. I hope it's not. And may the Lord forgive me if it sounds like it. But how can you put the Holy Spirit on a shelf? Let's be serious about this. God brought the restoration of the gifts, and that messenger preached that.
All right.
And he said that God never takes away, he adds to. If God doesn't take away, that's all still there. And whatever he adds to, let's have it as well. But to tell us we have a perfect or better way, and that's all thrown out, I can't have that. I just don't see it in the Bible. You don't throw the Bible out. If the guy said one night, the Lutheran movement today is dead, we would all agree with that. But Luther's message is not. If you heard nothing else, and you heard the true message Luther brought, and you never heard nothing else, you could still get saved under that. Wesleyanism's dead. The Methodists in general are dead. But the truth he brought on justification is still the truth. That is still absolutely a truth. Now we know we keep going on. It's the stats, the pyramid, it's the seven church ages. It's no longer just a little stop, but it's coming into full maturity when God sends a true message with vindication, with signs and wonders, revealing the secrets of the heart, the word coming as a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. But all them other things, and people say if you have the Holy Spirit, you'll not deny the truth. Well, you won't deny them other things. Because you'll know the same oil that filled the first lamp is the same oil that filled every lamp. There was no particular different oil. It's the same oil, for it's the same Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to have to close them. Look at the time's going already. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? Verse 7, and all men were about 12. Now, let me share this with you. And I'm not saying this to read Billy Graham up, but Billy Graham one time went to a big conference where all the preachers were at it. And he gave them a real good telling that. And he said, you're the laziest bunch of preachers ever seen. And he says, I get so many thousands of conversions, and the next year there's not 10 of them. And he says, you're lying with your feet up. You need to go out and do this and do that. And William Branham said, dear brother Billy Graham, there's only one problem. Now he says, he wasn't there, but he said this, what the way it was. When Paul got one conversion, who run after him? Nobody. That one conversion the next year had 10 of his own. That's the difference. And he says, you see, Billy Graham could get them emptied up, but he couldn't get them filled up. And that's like the Bible here. These people in the book of Acts, I want you to notice this. Every word you're reading here, they didn't just bring them to the Lord and they become into some wee group and that's it, now you're saved. Sit back. They got them filled with the Holy Ghost. Then they went on with it and they won others to the Lord. Amen. They didn't need propped up with a stick that carried the church in a rough sack. Can you imagine everybody took that attitude? There'd be nobody at church. And it's good to gather often, isn't it? Often as you see the day approaching. Praise God. Many say the baptism in the Spirit was only for the apostolic movement, for the apostolic age. However, the baptism in water, was it only for the apostolic age then? Because everybody wants to still baptize people in water. Why do they want to baptize them in water? Because it started there as well. If baptism of the Spirit was only for them, well then is baptism in water only for them? What about communion? Was it only for them? You see, that's a man's doctrine. Amen. And a man's idea. But thank God it's still the day. Listen, listen, I'm going to close. Now you tell me, is God still calling? God is still calling. Even if we're not seeing many, universally God's calling people. God is moving. If God is calling, then the apostolic age is still in existence. Certainly, as many as the Lord our God shall call, ever call, ever will call, as many as he'd call, it will still be the apostolic age. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we're still in apostolic days. Amen. Isn't the Lord good? Now, you know, if I had to say to you tonight, you need more of the Holy Spirit, you would have to say, certainly, brother. If I need more, certainly, brother. I want more. I desire more. I pray daily that God will fill me with the Holy Spirit. Now you brethren know there's times, even in the meeting, over the years, I'm not talking about here tonight or some other night, but you know, you could testify to times when Spirit came. And you knew it. You didn't need to go and ask the pastor or one of the elders or the deacons, do you think that was that the Holy Spirit? You knew it. Amen. I remember one night in Tully Leash. Is that right, brother, the name of the hall? Tully Leash Orange Hall. My wife wasn't prayed for with nobody, but the Spirit came in the meeting and the Spirit of God came on her. And she knew it and I knew it. And I knew it, got home in the car where the Holy Ghost came on her that night. And she testifies to this day that the Holy Spirit came on her that night. Now she was saved from a young girl. She was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember wee Jim Welch testified, I think he even baptized her. She was very young. But the Holy Ghost came on her that night in that Orange Hall. And she knew it. She didn't have to ask me, do you think was that the Holy Spirit? She knew it. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you'll know it. You will know it. Something will happen. It will not make you worse. It will make you better. It won't make you feel bad. I can tell you that right now. It will make you feel it can clean through the roof. It's powerful. There's nothing like it. There's no drug or alcohol can match it. The thrill of it. The brilliance of it. There's nothing to describe it. One old preacher, it might have been still, Joseph Smith, he said it was like hot liquid love going through him, rolling over him, coming within him and all around him when the Holy Ghost come on him. I met a man some years ago, was doing a bit of work for him, gardening, was cutting trees and stuff for him. He's a Pentecostal man. And he said to him years ago, we used to pray all night for the Holy Spirit. And he said, we've been tarrying for so many nights. And he says, the Holy Spirit come on him. And he even saw a flame. And he says, it stayed with him for near a week. The power of God never left him for over a week. That's the way it used to be in Pentecostal meetings. Now people say, but we've moved on. Moved on to what? God doesn't move you on to something that's dead. Lifeless. That's called a carcass. Living meat we need. Living Holy Spirit. And we need to be praying for God to fill us. Amen. We need to try and get on fire. Get on fire with God. I'll guarantee you, when the power of God comes in, it'll do something for you. I know I'm getting excited, but I'm going to sit down and we're going to pray. Let's close our eyes this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we believe your word. Lord, if I have said anything I shouldn't have, Lord, I pray you'll forgive me. But I want you to fill me with the Holy Ghost afresh. I want you to fill every single person in this room with the power of the Holy Ghost. I want you to fill our loved ones with the power of the Holy Ghost. Move in these meetings, Lord, I pray, with the power of your Holy Spirit. We welcome the Holy Spirit into this room. We invite the Holy Spirit into this room. We command every demon power to get out of this room and to go from God's people. And we speak the Holy Spirit to come upon them. The anointing, the power of God. Loose your children. Set them free. Fill them, oh God. Glorify your name again. And come upon your people in the power of the Holy Ghost. Manifest your gifts, tongues, prophecy. All the nine gifts of the Spirit and the fruits to go with it, Lord. Help us to love one another more. Move amongst us. Baptize us afresh, I pray. Add to your work. Ships that should be saved, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Oh, Lord, pour your Spirit upon us. Cause a hunger and a thirst to come upon your people like never before. That your people will begin throughout the earth, that someone will come over them. They'll begin to pray against COVID and all these nonsenses that's going on. Yes. And that the power of God would break loose and set captives free in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Rid us of the fear of man and give us the fear of God, which bringeth repentance. Yes. Lord, grant tonight to touch your people. Touch every brother, every sister. Save our sons. Save our daughters. Save our nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles, wives, husbands, in the name of Jesus Christ, move upon them, Lord. Bring conviction in on them and save them, we pray. Lord, fill this hall with your glory. Fill this hall with your presence. Fill this hall with the power of God. Let the pillar of fire come into this room and into this building and over your people in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the angel of the Lord come near and, oh God, confirm your word and smite the enemy and drive him back. For you promised when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard up against him. Bless each one that's here. Bless the brothers and sisters that couldn't come. Undertake for them, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Lord, I ask you for wee Jordy Jackson. You'll help him to find that lost key that he's been searching for. In Jesus' precious name, bless his wife. And Lord, bless all those that you're going to bring and save, Lord. Add to your work such a stupid saying. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless each one.